Our reading for today is taken from Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groanings of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, 'I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord.'" Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have freed us from the slavery of sin, from the power of Satan, and from the judgment to come. Thank you, Lord, that we are free now, free to worship you, to adore you, free to serve you, free to thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us and prepared for us an inheritance, undefiled, uncorruptible, and eternal, preserved in heaven for us. Give us a grateful heart, remembering that it's through your great sacrifice and your mighty hand and your act of on the cross of Calvary that you have redeemed us and saved us for yourself. And you are our God, our Lord, and our Savior. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you. The title of this message is "Who Cares?" And I'm sure you've asked that question to yourself from time to time. I have. Have you ever asked the question, "Who cares about what I'm going through right now?" No one knows what I'm going through. No one really cares whether I have anything to eat or anything, any money to pay my rent, or anything to pay for whatever I need. And then sometimes we feel that we have been neglected by our loved ones, and we become so frustrated and feel so lonely, so alone, and we ask the question, "I've done so much for this person, or for this family, or for this church, or for this country, and yet no one cares." Who cares when I feel lonely? Who cares whether I'm suffering or not? And often we get into a depression until we turn our eyes to God and look at God and look what He has done in our life and in our past, and wake up and then feel His presence in our lives. Moses had done his best. As a young prince, he went out there to see what his people were doing, and he saw someone, an Egyptian, trying to harass or do some fight with an Israelite, and he killed him because he felt so strongly about this injustice that was being done to the Jewish people then. And then, because someone saw him the following day, they said they will deal with him, and he ran away. And for 40 years, he lived their life outside his country where he was brought up. And he lived a life that was very lonely, even though he did marry and had a family and became very rich. I believe in his heart he felt very lonely. And he probably thought from time to time, who cares whether the Jewish people or the children of Israel my people are suffering there? God has forgotten us. And he went on with his business, with his sheep, if you wish. And as usual, he went to that place where he would take his sheep. And all of a sudden, something happened. One day when Moses was tending the flock, as he usually did, he saw a burning bush, and then he heard God speak to him from within the burning bush. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses at this point was living a very comfortable life. At this time, Moses had his own comfort zone. He was getting old. He was probably 80 years old, older than me. And so he figured, who needs this? And he thought of other younger people that could handle it. Moses protested and even argued with God for asking him to go to Pharaoh. Moses gave God all kinds of excuses for not wanting to go where God was asking him to go. God said to Moses, I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. But Moses said, Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. Have you ever said, ask someone else to do it, O Lord? I don't know whether you have ever been asked a question or given a responsibility and you thought, man, that's going to take away from my comfortable time. It's going to take away from my activities. It's going to be hard to deal with and I'm not even gifted enough to do it. I don't even speak well, and I'm not a good teacher, I'm not a good singer, and you say, ask someone else. There are other gifted people around us. But when God calls, He calls you because He knows you, and because He knows you can do it, and because He has a plan for you. Finally, God said to Moses to take his brother Aaron with him. And God promised to him that he would help them speak and do what he wanted them to do. In chapter 5, we see Moses and Aaron appearing before Pharaoh and saying, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go. Pharaoh's response was, Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Pharaoh refuses to let the people go, and instead he orders the slave drivers to make the work hard and make life unbearable for them. Now Moses is in real trouble, actually. Not only Pharaoh is angry with him, but even his own people have turned against him. And if you were you, you would say, who needs this? I didn't ask for this, and yet God forced me to do something that has not gone well. But he didn't know the end. Moses returned to God and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon these people? Moses is really ready to give up now. But God renews his pledge to deliver them out of slavery. And I come to the point of this morning's message. God really cares. God cares about our burdens. And God cares when we are in trouble. I will bring you out of under the yoke of Egyptians. Please notice the verse 7. It says, no, I'm sorry. There are seven promises, there were seven statements in verses 6 to 8. I will. He said, I will, seven times. I will is a promise for hurting times. God knows our troubles and pain. God knows your pain this morning. God knows what you are going through this morning. God also knows that you are rejoicing. Something has gone right and things are going well and your loved ones are around you or whatever it is. God knows everything. God knows everything about me, how I feel right now and how I've asked God to really take over me because without him, we are nothing. The call for freedom brought extra labor and burdens instead of freedom. Making bricks without straw, beating by the slave drivers, etc. Sometimes making a commitment to God or committing ourselves to his service is not always easy. Sometimes that demands a lot of work. Sometimes it demands a lot of humbling. We must humble ourselves. It's not always easy to go to someone and say, I'm sorry. Yesterday something happened with my, not me and my wife, but my wife and I work in our company, and a man came and gave us real tough time, and we almost lost it, almost, I said, and yet my wife wanted to deal with this person, and anyways, this person was so angry and upset, he said a lot of things and he left. After a few minutes, he came back and he said, you know why I was angry so upset? Because you, whatever. And I said, well, I'm sorry. If we did that, then we are guilty. But it took a lot of effort from his side to come in, and it took plenty of effort from our side to sort of make bring peace into the whole situation. Well, that's how it is. When God calls you in his ministry, when God calls you in his family, family's business, which is to care for each other and love for each other and see whether there are some areas that you can be helpful, it may take your time, it may take some money, it may take some humbling to be able to please God and serve others. Your burdens are important to God. Bring your burdens before his throne. He gives grace to help us in time of need. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And very often we talk about the pleasures of being a Christian, about the blessings of becoming a born-again believer, about how God is going to bless us, money, we'll have more money and better health and all these. But we forget, or at least churches and preachers forget to say that it does take a lot of hard work often to serve God. First was, God cares when we are in trouble. Secondly, God cares about our bondage. I don't know how many of you may feel that they are bound by something. It could be chocolate, it could be food, it could be French fries, it could be drugs, could be smoking, could be alcohol, it could be sexual immorality, it could be gambling, it could be hatred, it could be gossiping, it could be anything that we cannot give up. And because we cannot give it up, that would be considered as being bound or chained to something that we cannot give up or change. But God is able to help. God cares about our bondage. Verse 6 says, I will free you from being slaves. How many of you have felt that you are slave to something? I know some wives feel that they are the slaves of their families, or husbands feel that they are the slave of the family. Kids feel that they are slaves in the family, and you know, but that's not what I mean. What I mean is being slave to something that you know is not right and still do it, knowing that what you are attached to or chained to is ruining your life and destroying your life, and yet you're not able or willing to change that, to become unchained, if you wish. But God is able to do it. God cares about our freedom, is the third. So before I go there, I would say that what is the difference? I'd ask the question, what is the difference between burdens and bondage? Burdens are concern, cares, problems. Bondage is to be controlled by a person or substance that will not go away unless you ask God to help you to give it up. We do have crosses to carry. Some of these burdens are not our problem. Some of these burdens have been placed there by our parents, by our children, by our health, by the society, by our traditions, by our culture, whatever. And some of these have to be dealt with daily, and we need the strength. And that's why we pray to God and ask Him to give us the strength to carry our cross. And I remember a family who had a child that was completely paralyzed, and his mind was not working well. And my wife and I would go to some of these meetings, and this father would carry that child because they were missionaries, and bring him to the meetings because there was no one to look after that child. And that child sometimes would be foaming and being very sick, and yet with such a, you remember, just with such a love. To me, that picture of a loving father who would not be ashamed in front of hundreds of people to take and wipe the child's face from that saliva and the foam and hug him and kiss him and then go up and continue his ministry is what a cross was. Most of us have lesser crosses and we complain. These are burdens, and God will help us carry them. Now, bondage is something that God wants us to give up. And yet, we cannot fathom, we cannot see it being possible for us to give up. Alcoholics will say it's impossible, and yet we have seen many giving up alcohol and turning to God. What controls you this morning? Alcohol, drugs, pleasure, money, or the pursuit of money, a temper that brings you grief, fears that limit your usefulness. All these are things that we may be going through right now. All these are things that we may be guilty of. And yet God cares, as God cared for the children of Israel who were slaves there, and they turned their backs to God. And that is why they had become slaves to a nation that was abusing them. And yet God cared enough for them to speak to Moses and say, I'm going to use you, Moses. You will go and free my people. And yet Moses was arguing with God. This morning God says, I love you. And I would like to free you from whatever it is. Is it gossiping that you cannot give up? You know what? Gossiping can be very intoxicating. It helps you feel good. Sometimes. Fears that limit your usefulness. Number three, first was God cares when we are in trouble. Second, God cares about our bondages. Third, God cares about our freedom. I will redeem you. The Greek word is litrosis. Litrosis. Redemption. Liberation. Setting free. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Jesus came to set us free. I will redeem you. I will free you. I'll give you freedom. He said that to me many times. I was afraid of this and I was doubting about that, and I knew the lack of gifts I had, and I still don't have the gifts I wanted to have, and yet God gave me the gifts that He wanted me to have, which I didn't necessarily care for. And the same thing goes for you. God has used you in the past and He will use you even today. You may have some hidden gifts that God wants you to use, and yet you are stuck to some other things. A lot of times, men and women spend more time to make themselves look better than their hearts to be cleaner and purer and closer to God. We spend enough time for our shoes and our appearance and our face and our makeup and our car and our all kinds of things, and yet we have no time when someone says, I need a volunteer to help a family. And God says, I want you to use your gift for my glory. We have no time. We are, or can be, set free by Jesus through scriptures, through His word, and through the Holy Spirit. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But you know already the truth. But I already know the truth. But I already have heard this truth 2 million times, or 2,000 times, or 2 times, or once. And so now I'm guilty of disobeying the truth rather than accepting the truth and saying, yes, I know you can free me. Yes, I know you can help me. Yes, I know, but next time. I just remembered Ananias and Sapphira. I don't know why he came in mind, but I know that they meant well when they went and sold their properties and they kept some money and brought the rest to the Lord because they wanted to play it safe. And often we want to play it safe. We want to be the Lord's. We want to be believers. We want to be born again. We want to belong to a church. And yet we want to keep something else for our own entertainment outside the church. And God did not like that idea at all with Ananias and Sapphira. And He dealt with them very strictly. And if God were to deal with us this morning the same way, does the thought scare you? It scares me. But God is patient, loving, compassionate. And He cares. He cares what happens to me. He cares what happens to my wife. He cares what happens to you, every one of you. And often, I believe, God who created us. And some, you know, the problem I believe today is that we talk about God, we talk about Jesus, we talk about our faith, and these things are so distant, so far. We talk to, about them like fantasies. And that is why the Word of God has not affected our lives. If God is a fantasy, if heaven and hell are a fantasy, then why are we here? But if we believe in God, but if we have surrendered our lives to God and said, you know what, I've tried everything. I really tried this, that, and the other. And really, to be honest with you, even though I'm married, I have children, I have grandchildren, or I'm about to get married, or I'm in love with a girl, there's something missing, the peace and the serenity that God brings when you make peace with God. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set free by the Savior. So, and John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Don't worry how you're going to keep yourself away from that. Because when your chains are broken, cut off, and you turn your back to that, then you have been set free. But on the other hand, if your chains are cut off and you still are staring at that thing and saying, I know I'm free, but then you're not free. Number four. First was God cares when we are in trouble. Second, God cares about our bondage. Third, God cares about our freedom. Fourth, God cares about our fellowship. I will take you as my own people, God said to Moses. I will take you as my own people. I know we say it all the time, but do we really believe it? We say we are one family. We say that we are members of the one body, but do we really believe it? Because if we did, then we would really be so happy that God is in control. I will take you as my own people. God would have fellowship with them and would be their God. God has promised to have fellowship with those who gather together in His name. He would provide all their needs then, and He still does. I will be your God, verse 7 says. Fellowshipping. God's Apostle Paul said to the Christians, and do not neglect the fellowshipping together. You see, when we go downstairs to have a cup of coffee, I see two or three or five people getting together and talking and sometimes just sort of kidding each other and sharing some things. And that's what fellowshipping is. And unless we do it together as a family of believers, the need is always there to do it anyway, so we do it outside the church. And I know many believers, and I know churches who would not even frown on the idea that a Christian can be a Christian and yet go and do everything everybody else does, and still is a Christian because he said he is Christian, and because he did use those magical words, please forgive me, the sinner's prayer, and now I'm safe, I can go and do anything I want. It doesn't work that way at all. It's like for a man to make a promise to his fiancée that will be faithful and then come to the church and repeat those vows and still cheat on her, on him, or on him, and just spend a lot of time outside that union that God has made. Well, that's how it is, I believe, fellowshipping together because we don't have Jesus right now in the body, although He is here, although the Holy Spirit is here, and although we enjoy His presence, yet we need people to enjoy, to really feel that fellowship. By holding hands, by hugging, by talking, whatever, however God helps us do it. We do need to fellowship. And the last point I want to make this morning is God cares about our future. Verse 8 says, I will bring you to the land, and I will give it to you as possession. I am the Lord. I don't know what your dreams are. I don't know what the land you are dreaming about is. I don't know what you're focusing on. I don't know what your desires or fantasies are. But if you allow God to help you achieve those dreams, if you ask God to lead you rather than God to follow you and help you do it, then God's promise is, I will give it to you as possession. I am the Lord. God keeps his promises. The promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were kept. Our inheritance is guaranteed too. 1 Peter 1:4 says, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Let God lift your burdens this morning. Come to Christ in faith, because he cares when you are in trouble. He cares about your bondage. He cares about your freedom. He cares about your relationship with him. And finally, he cares about your future in eternity. He is a loving and caring God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for being a loving, compassionate God, the only God, the only Lord and Savior. For there are many who claim to be gods or saviors, and yet we know that there is only one. And Lord Jesus, you are our Lord and Savior. Touch each one of us today while we will be preparing ourselves for the communion service. Help us confess our sins to you and help us be freed from bondages that we are carrying or carriers. In your blessed name I pray, amen.